Father, we know that your word is already blessed. We know that your word is being written through the blood of Christ, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, it's not so much we ask that your word be anointed tonight and blessed, but we pray that our hearts will be open to it and that our hearts will be, Lord, sensitive to your word. Lord, open our hearts and, Lord, allow that seed to be planted deep within the soil of our heart so that, Lord, it can bring forth fruit in our lives so that we can be, Lord, a glory to you. We ask this, Father, in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn to Ephesians 6 and 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. Praise the Lord. Praise your Father. Here it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now here, after Jesus, through the Word, has said that we should put on the armor of God and to do all things to be able to stand in that day, the last part of the armor that he mentions here is prayer. Sometimes we don't associate that prayer is part of the armor of God. But I've taught on this before, and most of you are aware of that. But you do not have the full armor of God on unless you have a successful prayer life. Only when you get prayer down pat can you be a victorious warrior for Jesus Christ. And that seems to be an area that Satan comes and tries to rob you of. Satan does not want you to pray. How many find yourself having problems in prayer life? Let me see your hands. Isn't it ridiculous? But it happens. It seems like Satan finds things to distract us by, doesn't he? And then he tries to confuse our minds. He tries to make us believe that our prayers are not doing some good. How many of us got tired of praying because it just didn't seem like prayer was doing any good? It happens sometimes. And he brings doubt into our mind and confusion. And he plants seeds in our mind little by little. And all of a sudden, we don't feel like praying. And we don't know why we don't feel like praying. And we as Christians, we've got to put on the full armor of God. We've got to do what it says here. We've got to pray always in all kinds of prayer. Now here we find out there's more than just one type of prayer. We find that there's kinds of prayer. Now I could probably teach for a week just on that, but I'm not going to, but I am going to hit a couple areas before we go on and get into specifically in how to pray and what prayer can do. Now it says there's different kinds of prayer. In the Bible we find different Greek words for prayer. The word prayer comes from several different words. Sometimes it's request. Sometimes when you read the word prayer in the original Bible, the word is request. Sometimes it's wish. Sometimes it's to make a demand. To make a demand. Not like you're trying to boss God around, but it's like when you go and make a demand upon your bank account downtown. You go in, you know that there's money there for you. And you know they're going to give it to you. And you go in and you ask for what you know is already yours. So sometimes in the Greek language, the word demand is there in prayer. So there's many words for prayer in the Bible. And there's different times that you use different types of prayer. Now also, it talks about in Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14 and 15, it talks about using two parts of your being to pray. Two different parts of your being. We're body, spirit, and soul, aren't we? Body, spirit, and soul. Now, here in verse 14, it talks about praying with the Spirit. Praying with the Spirit is one way to pray. And when it says, when you pray with your spirit, that your mind is unfruitful, your understanding, or in the Greek, the mind. So now it tells us that praying with the Spirit is different than praying with the mind. So we find that we should pray with our spirit, and we should also pray with our soul or our mind. Now in Timothy, in 1 Timothy 2:8, let's look at that real quick. 1 Timothy 2:8, praise the Lord. It says, I wait till you get there, then I'll read it. Praise the Lord, the ones who want to get there. Short verse, but when you read it and listen at the same time, you learn twice as well. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. We find that the body can get involved in prayer. We find, in, like I said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15, we found that your spirit can get involved in prayer. Then we found that your mind can get involved in prayer. Now we find that your body can get involved in prayer. Now, is it important that all three aspects of the man or woman get involved in prayer? Yes. Because you see, you are three aspects, you're three separate parts. You need to learn to pray in the spirit as well as with words that you understand. Plus, you need to learn to put your body into things. And some people neglect putting their body into what they do. They think, well, you know, I mean it in my mind, that's what counts. If you've got a $100 bill in your pocket right now and your mind says, I think I'm going to give that to Donna. Well, if your hand don't get involved with your mind, Donna's never going to get the $100 bill, is she? Right? And that's just a practical thing, right? Your body needs to be involved in what you do for you to be totally edified in it. So that's why we lift our hands into the Lord. There's something very definite that takes place when you do that. The Bible talks about many different ways to pray and kinds of prayer and such. And we can't get into all of that, but you need to do a study on prayer. There's a reason why sometimes you should get on your knees like this and pray. There is. There's something psychological that happens to you on your knees. Now listen, I feel different right now than I did when I was standing up. I feel sillier, okay, right now in front of you. But I feel humble. You know that? Now sometimes they got down on her face like this and prayed. You need to clean the carpet. But now this makes me feel a little different. It surely makes me look a little different. But I felt really abased. I felt down. I felt like I was where I need to be. You know, so many times pride enters in and interferes with our prayer. And sometimes we need to come to the Lord in a very humble position physically to help us be in the right frame of mind spiritually. Did you understand that? You need to get totally involved. And sometimes we need to pray and outstretch our hands unto the Lord and do that and pray that away. What does that do for you? When I'm looking up and I got my hands up and I'm praying, I'm looking to something greater than I, something uncontrolled or untemporal, something eternal, something, you know, the word heaven means forever arising. That's what the word heaven means. It means forever arising or something like that, if I remember correctly. It's out here. It's high. It's lifted up. It says God is high and lifted up. And so when we lift our hands up and we do like this, it creates another type of frame of mind. Your frame of mind when you pray will affect your attitude, which will affect how God can answer your prayer. Do you realize that the only thing that keeps you from being on top of the world and being successful and being a powerhouse for God and having the power of God flowing through you to the point that people would lay in your shadow and be healed by the very shadow that fell upon them is right between these 2 ears? 6 inches of space in between your 2 ears? How you think determines if you're going to be a failure or a success? Now, don't get me wrong. Without the Lord, don't care how you think, you wouldn't be successful. I'm saying after God does all of His part, which is 99.999, then He's got to have some agreement up here. So how you think will determine and how you allow God's Spirit to work through your life. If you think wrong, with a wrong attitude, then it's not going to work. If you think right, that's why the Bible talks about setting your mind and your affections on the things above. It says if you're spiritual minded, you'll have life. But if you're carnally minded, you'll have death. How you think determines if you have death or life. You see. So when we pray, we need to realize we need to be in a right frame of mind. In Matthew 6 and 7, let's turn to that. Matthew 6 and 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they should be heard by their much speaking. Now the word vain there, in the original Greek language the Bible was written in, says utter empty words. Utter empty words. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting and people go around and saying, glory, hallelujah, praise God, and that's good, you should do that. But I've been in prayer meetings that people got lost in what they're saying, they were really daydreaming. I stopped a guy and said, what did you just say? What did you just pray about? Didn't know what he just prayed about. He was getting caught up in some kind of a psychological thing. I'm not talking about he's praying in tongues. He was praying in a language I could understand. But see, I knew that he was not thinking about what he was praying about. He said, oh God, help us, Lord. And he was getting caught up in words, and he wasn't really thinking about what he was saying. And that's what that word means, vain there. Empty words, utterly empty words. We should become involved in our prayer. If I say, oh God, would you please help, let's see who, Harvey here. Now I could be praying for Harvey, so oh God, help Harvey. And in my mind, I have no intercession for Harvey at all. It's a word to me. Help Harvey. And I don't have a gut level love and feeling for him then. I'm not intercessing. I'm not feeling his burden. I'm not even really concerned that much. I'm doing something I know I should do. God, help Harvey and help Jennifer and help Joe and help Doris and help Tim and vain, empty words. I should get in a frame of mind that when I pray that I take his burden upon myself. That I say, oh God, now, you know, help me be in the right frame of mind to pray, Lord. Help me really care and help my words be filled with love and sensitivity to the person I'm praying for. How many today would admit that when you pray many times that you do not feel for that person? It's just the word that you speak. How many would admit that tonight? Doesn't it happen? And then we wonder why God does not answer our prayer. Then we wonder why we have a weak life in Christ. We wonder why that we, you know what you do every time you pray that away? You poison your mind with doubt. You poison your mind with doubt. Because if I pray for Rebecca to be healed of a cyst situation, and I don't really intercess, and my mind's not open for God to move through, and I pray, and she's not healed, what happens to my mind? I have poisoned my mind with doubt. I believe that we should be careful in how we handle prayer. And how we should be careful, and when we enter the prayer, we should not take the Lord's name in vain. Because every time we speak things carelessly, then we have taken his name in vain. If I say, God, would you heal Harvey? And I had not my heart in that. I did not care, really. I did not feel his burden. I have spoken in God's name in vain. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've used his name carelessly. And every time that I pray for someone and I am not burdened with their trouble and I just pray, I have hurt that person's spiritual life. Every time someone comes up here and I stand up here as a preacher and I lay hands on that person and I pray for that person, but in my heart I'm not sincere and their whole life is not the most important thing to me. Their sickness is not the most important thing to me, but I'm just putting on a show or I'm just getting it over with or I'm not taking time to be concerned that I have poisoned their spiritual life with doubt because I prayed and nothing happened. Because my mind might have been distracted with my own problems or somebody else's or worried about something else. The Bible says we should be single-minded, that when we do things, we should do it with our mind totally upon what we're doing. And if we'll get our minds upon what we do, and we will get our hearts up, we'll let God within us, Jesus Christ within us, be the intercessor. We hurry, don't we? We hurry when we pray for people. And when someone prays for you, you've got an obligation to wait in the presence of the Lord. How many of you get a little awkward when you're standing up in front and someone's praying for you and pretty soon we've sung 6 songs and 9 songs and 12 songs and you're still there and you're thinking, I gotta get out of here. I've gotta wipe these tears away. I gotta stop. I gotta get my mascara ripped off and I've gotta get it right. I've gotta sit down because I'm taking too long. Who's ever thought that? Sure, that's what happens, isn't it? You've got an obligation when you come up and ask for prayer that you stay in the presence of the Lord and until you feel like either God says, no, you're not going to be healed tonight, or when you feel God's love just bathe you. And he would if we'll get our minds and our hearts sincerely involved in what we're doing. Because every time you come up and ask for prayer and you walk away and you wasn't into it, you wasn't open to God to heal, then you have caused doubt to be planted in the one that prayed for you. You see what we're talking about here? We need to get more serious about prayer. We should weigh prayer very, very heavily upon our hearts. It's a very serious situation. It's not something we should use lightly. The Bible also talks about in Mark 11 and 25 that your general attitude will affect your prayer. Mark 11 and 25, praise the Lord, says, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither shall your Father in heaven forgive you. How many of you tonight would say that I have something in my heart against someone and I don't know if I've forgiven them or not? Let me see your hands. If you have not forgiven a person, then God does not have a vessel to flow through to heal. God cannot answer prayer in your life if you've got a heart that has not forgiven. Because forgiveness is a great big block in the channel that flows from God within. God within you, that channel that flows through you, that brings about miracles, that brings about the answers to your prayer, the Holy Spirit within you. The channel between that is blocked with unforgiveness. Because God is love and God only flows through love. And unforgiveness is an act against love. Unforgiveness is a revengeful act. Unforgiveness is not understanding a person. Unforgiveness is not loving. And the prayer is blocked. So our attitude of our mind makes a difference on how God can answer our prayers. Praise the Lord. In James 4:3, it tells us that our attitudes can affect us. The attitudes that we have can affect us when we pray. Let's turn to James 4:3. Praise the Lord. You ask and you receive not because you asked amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. When we pray with the wrong motivation, when we pray, the word amiss means to pray badly or evilly. When we pray with the wrong lustful attitude, then our prayers will not be answered. Why are you praying? Are you praying according to the will of God, according to His Word? Prayer is a weapon of righteousness. Prayer is a spiritual weapon that we can do battle against Satan. We're not here to have a little party amongst us and to just get rich in this world and take it easy. We might get rich, but if we get rich, it's a weapon of God against Satan. Everything that you have in your life is a weapon of righteousness. Everything you possess is a weapon of righteousness. If we would dedicate all that we have and all that we are to God as a weapon against Satan, then we would have more success in what we have. But we got things that we consider ours. Our children are ours, and this is ours, and that's ours. If you don't believe it, mistreat somebody's theirs, and you'll find out it's theirs. But if it's God's, then it'll be a different approach to things. But what we need to realize is that we must use everything that we have as a weapon against Satan's tyranny, and that includes prayer. It's not a selfish way to get things for yourself. God will bless you abundantly because God takes care of His soldiers. But don't get it mixed up and think God is a Santa Claus and you're in this life to get all you can get. And if you're good enough, God's going to bless you. And if you try to do all you can do so God can give you a lot of goodies. No, we're in this street fight. This life is nothing more than an alley fight. We're in this place, it's not even like we're strangers here. We have been sent down as mercenaries. We're here cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ with the power of God flowing in us. We should be determined to destroy Satan and the demons of hell and the sin that's ravaging this universe. And we should be mean inside, or I should say sober. Mean! I like the word mean better. When it comes to sin, we should be mean. Ouch. I didn't shave. But we need to be mean and grab that old devil and knock his teeth out. But what we do, we play games with the devil. Hi, devil. We play around with him. He comes up and he takes a little carrot and says, come on, come and get the carrot. And we say, well, I know I shouldn't. I don't want to. And we play games with poison. We've got to be tough and serious and know what's going on. Hey, maybe we'll make some mistakes. Sure, we'll make some mistakes. But this will make a habit of it. And we should be serious about our prayer life. Because that's the whole center of the whole thing, is our communication with our general. Getting our minds uncorrupted so God can work through. Praise the Lord. Your relationships you have with people is going to affect your prayer life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, it said, husbands, you better treat your wives right. Don't you know that if you're not getting along with your wife right, that you're going to have a problem in your prayer life? Now that's a paraphrase of what it says there, but that's what it's talking about. You better get it together in your relationships, because when you have problems in relationships, that shows you that you got a sickness in your heart, and God cannot work through filth and sickness of the heart. We better get on our knees. See, yeah, but my wife's a meanie. Yeah, my husband, boy, I'll tell you, if you lived with him, you would think so too. Well, then you better pray more. Pray, pray, God, help me, Lord. If Jesus Christ was in my family today, what would He think of my wife? What would He think of my husband? How would He deal with it? Would He deal with it the way we deal with things? He'd get on his knees like he went away to the mountain and prayed all night, didn't he? He would get it right. And if we pray enough, then we'll have Jesus working through us and our families. And some people cannot be won over. But that's okay. Because if you pray enough and you become what God wants you to be, you'll chase him away with love. You know that? I believe in marriage and I believe in divorce. Oh, what are you talking about? Well, I mean this. You're going to be so good that you're going to switch the person around and they're going to be beautiful in Christ, or you're going to be so good that they're going to run away and you get on with the show. Because we're not here for marriage. Marriage is here for us to win the victory. It's a marital team. And if you pray and you're loving, most people can be won over. Most people just need a little love. But you're not going to have love in your heart if you don't pray. And your prayers aren't going to be effective if you don't have more concern for your wife's well-being, your husband's, and stop thinking that you don't have to be concerned about that. Praise the Lord. Does prayer accomplish anything? Well, throughout the Bible we find that prayer will keep you out of temptation, would. Prayer sanctifies your food. Prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man, will heal the sick. Again and again and again, we see prayer accomplishes things. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? How many has ever had trouble with that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:17? How many has ever been, how do you pray without ceasing? You know? I remember working on a job when I first got saved. Man, I was excited. And I said, pray without ceasing. So I learned all the time. You know, talk to somebody, hi, you know, trying to pray all the time working, trying to pray, and I'd hit my finger with a hammer and all kinds of things, trying to pray without ceasing. I thought, how in the world can you pray without ceasing? Well, the word there in the Greek language means constantly reoccurring. Pray without ceasing means to constantly reoccur. That means constantly prayer bounces back into your life all the time. Bam, bam, bam. Every so many minutes of the day, prayer bounces back into your life. And then that's what it means to pray without ceasing. We as Christians need to pray without ceasing. I would believe tonight, probably, that this church doesn't have a lot of prayer going up. Now, I don't want to say that because we're all a bunch of good guys, don't we? Everybody got your white hats on tonight? We're a bunch of good guys. But I would just guess by the trouble that we are having that there's not a lot of prayer going up. How many would agree with me? There's not enough prayer going up. How many of you, since I started preaching, has prayed for me so that I'd preach better or good or whatever? You see your hands. God, now if everybody's lying, strike them dead right now. Okay, everybody's okay. But let's think about that. It's very important that I bring the Word of God to you in the right way, right? Now, if I was you, I wouldn't just depend on me, because I'm a human being. I can fail. If I were you and I realized how important it was that I was fed tonight, I would pray, God, help that guy preach right. And I would pray throughout the sermon, God, keep his mind upon the Word. Lord, you know, let your Word burn within his heart, Lord. Purify him, Lord. Use him, Lord. Boy, that's the way. And you know what happened to me? I don't know what happened. I might even preach a good sermon. If you were all out there praying, that I would. I used to go to a church, and I would pray probably every 5 minutes. No, more than that, because it only lasted 15 minutes. Every minute, just about, I'd pray, God, give me the Word. God, give me the Word. God, give me the Word through that man. I'm not depending on him. I'm depending on God. So, you know, we need to pray for a lot of things. We need to be more serious about prayer, right? And I believe you will be, because I know you got good hearts, and I know you want the victory. But sometimes we get sidetracked. Right, Doris? Get sidetracked. And I think we're going to get back on track on prayer. Let's get down on our knees and pray. Let's humble our minds and hearts and realize we can't survive without a good prayer life. At least survive in the way we want to survive. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's open this up for questions and answers or any comments you might have. Yes. Okay, we're saying different things prayer can accomplish. accomplish, which is about anything, but I was just using some in the scriptures. It talks about like temptation. It says, pray that you don't enter into temptation. Now, what her question was, by the way, to get it on tape here, was, what are some of the things that prayer accomplishes? If you pray, you won't enter into temptation, very often anyway. And if you pray, you can pray for a brother that sins, it says in the Bible. That's mighty. In 1 John 5:16, it says, if you have a brother that sin, if it's not a sin unto death, pray for him, and they shall be forgiven. Now, what does that mean? That I can get another person forgiven? No, it means if I pray for them, they're going to come to the point of repentance, and they'll get forgiveness. That's what he needs, right? Right, and God will lay that burden upon your heart a lot of times. You'll feel the lostness. When we pray for a person's salvation, I might mention something here. When you pray for a person's salvation, you need to feel their lostness. You need to feel what it's like to be separated from the love of God. Because, you know, the Bible says, direct your hearts into the love of God. A person that is not in Christ has directed their hearts out of the love of God. It's like standing behind the tree so the sun can't shine upon you. And you feel their lostness, and you will intercess for them in a way that will do some good.
I have a question.
Yes. Okay. Her question is, we talked about praying in the spirit and soul. What does that mean? You got a spirit, you got a soul, and you got a body. And praying in the spirit is praying in tongues. Praying with the soul is praying with words you understand. And praying with the body is when you move your body when you pray. Somebody else, yeah. Use the Lord's Prayer. Not necessarily just to repeat a prayer that's already been there. See, the Lord's Prayer gives us a system of how to pray. If you analyze the Lord's Prayer, you'll see that there are certain things he says in there. He says, you know, let your will be done, not mine. Talks about forgiving me as I forgive others. There is an outline there. We don't really believe in coming in and just having a prayer that's already written down and just repeating it over and over again, because it gets repetitious and it's not something out of our heart for that moment. So the Lord's Prayer wasn't given so that we'd repeat it word for word. It was given us as a guideline to see what to pray for and how to pray. Because, you know, you'll get in a lot of churches and they'll have a book of prayers. Well, that's not, you know, the prayer of the day or the prayer of the moment, intercessing for a person that needs it, or maybe where you're at that morning. You see what I mean? So when you're just praying for some person, somebody else has already written, it might have been good for that moment for them, but it may not be for you that moment. But on the Lord's Prayer, he gave us an outline, a blueprint.